Lady in Blue.
The Lady in Blue. Perhaps the most famous and yet least known woman in the field of criminal investigation is the Lady in Blue. She's a young woman, apparently very attractive, though no one can be sure of her exact appearance, as she always wears a small blue mask over the upper portion of her face. Her constant companion is her faithful cockney maid, Harriet Higgins. Tonight we find mistress and maid in a taxi on the way to the Bachelor's Club, an exclusive and wealthy residential club where the Lady in Blue has been called to solve a daring robbery. A most interesting feature of the robbery is the fact that our heroine's stolen car was used by the criminals for their getaway.
I'll never forget Sergeant Donnelly's face. I reported that my car was stolen.
I know, Diamond, miss. I'd be taken aback myself if I was a guest sergeant and a young lady as was the best private detective in the business came in and presented me with a bloke as was trying to stop her from taking a case and then told me a car was stolen and described the car as was used by the criminals in the case, even to the license number.
Well, that's true. I wonder what Lieutenant Greer will say when we appear.
He won't like it, Nummy.
No, but there's not much he can do about it. We're almost there.
Do the usual, miss?
Yes, Harriet. Examine the apartment thoroughly while I interview Mr. Tremaine.
This Tremaine bloke, miss, or what sort is he?
Young and wealthy. Nothing to do with the play, which he does gracefully enough. I've met him socially, of course, so he won't recognize me.
Blow me, but I don't like him. Someday you'll be recognized, miss.
I hardly think so. Well, here we are.
And too soon at that. I don't like this case, miss.
That's all, driver.
Thanks, lady.
What's wrong with this case, Harry?
Well, looks to me like the bloke swapped on it wanted to get you called in. Else, why was your car stolen and used to do the robbery? And why did they telephone and warn you not to take the case? Anyone who knows you knows that you'd sure take the case if you was warned not to do it.
Excellent reasoning, my dear Watson. Excellent.
I'm Watson. It's Harriet Higgins, and you know it, miss.
All right, Higgins. The you think that thug that we presented to Sergeant Donnelly was only meant to delay us?
I do.
So do I.
Oh, here comes Lieutenant Greer, miss.
So I see. Good evening, Lieutenant.
Well. If it isn't a sapphire siren and a girl Friday. Somehow I thought you might turn up, Miss Blue.
Glorious night, isn't it, Jerry?
Mind if I give you some advice?
If I don't like it, I'll send it back.
Look, Miss Blue, I represent the police department. I'm in charge of the Tremaine robbery. And you get my hair.
Such lovely curly hair, too.
Stop it, he's half it, miss.
Now, really, Harriet, there's plenty of it.
I ain't never seen it, miss.
That's because the lieutenant never takes off his hat.
Huh? Oh.
Thank you, Jerry, darling.
Oh, take it easy, Miss Blue. Now, look. The commissioner squawked because you beat us out in a random killer case.
And instructed you to keep me out of any big cases. Is that right, Lieutenant?
You got a license and a state permit as a private detective, Miss Blue. But that doesn't mean that you can meddle in any case that interests you. You leave police department work alone unless you're retained by the victim of a crime or one of the parties involved.
Would that Tremaine do in this case?
Tremaine?
Yes, Tremaine. He phoned and invited me to join the fun. I was also warned by an anonymous telephone voice that my health would be better if I didn't take the case. And it might interest you to know that the getaway car you're looking for was stolen from me early this evening.
Did you report it?
Yes, Jerry, dear, about half an hour ago.
I don't suppose you know anything more about this case.
Oh, not much. She only delivered a blooming witness to the station for you.
A witness?
Well, a suspect, or at least an accomplice. A thug that paid us a call and advised us to forget the robbery at number 12 Tower Drive.
Blimey, but I'm thinking as how you better get to the station and talk to him before he forgets who his boss is, Lieutenant.
You may be right, sir.
Let me know what he has to say, will you? By that time, I may be able to give you some more important information.
I can find my own information on this case, Miss Blue.
I may remind you of that, Lieutenant Greer. Come along, Higgins.
Very good, sir.
Poor Jerry. We shouldn't tease him so, Harriet.
Well, I suppose not, miss.
He's a good detective, but he lets the commissioner worry him too much.
Oh, there's our man standing by the door, miss.
Yes, I see him. It's Tremaine.
Good evening. I'm Arnold Tremaine. You're the lady in blue, aren't you?
Oh, but of course you are.
Yes, Mr. Tremaine. And this is my assistant, Higgins.
Won't you come in?
Thank you. I'm sorry we took so long to get here, Mr. Tremaine, but we had little business to dispose of on the way. How many people knew of the robbery when you called me?
Only myself and Charlie Purcell. I'd called the police, of course, but they hadn't arrived. Here's the elevator.
Thank you. Who's Charlie Purcell?
The chap that lives just below me. He was up for supper tonight.
Were you entertaining?
No, just Purcell and myself. Cold snack, you know, my man's night off.
Oh. Which floor are you on, Mr. Tremaine?
Penthouse, thank goodness. You know, you're the only attractive thing about this robbery.
Thank you. And for that, you may call me Miss Blue.
Thank you. Elevator stops here, Miss Blue. We have to walk up one flight to my room.
Is this the only way up to the roof, Mr. Tremaine?
Yes, it is.
Quite an isolated place for a jewel robbery.
There seems to be lots of people between it and the exit, don't there, miss?
Not so many, when you consider the time of night.
I should think that once he gained the elevator, he probably wouldn't meet anyone who'd question him.
What do you think, Watson?
Mean I mind, Watson. It's Higgins, miss.
Well, Watson, that you don't trip on the stoop, Miss Blue.
Oh, thank you.
Here we are. And again, the only entrance, Miss Blue.
You really have a lovely place here, Mr. Tremaine. Mind if Higgins takes a look around?
Why, no, not at all.
All right, Watson. See what Jerry Greer left behind.
Very good, sir.
I suppose you'll want to look over the scene of the crime.
Not yet, Mr. Tremaine. Where were you when the robbery occurred?
In the dining room over there. My strong box was in my den, that is, right over here.
Just beyond the dining room door. Any other entrances to the den?
No, only through the dining room.
All right, let's have the whole story.
Well, I bought some stones at an auction this afternoon and put them in the strong box when I got back. That reminded me of Charlie Purcell, the chap below me. He'd expressed quite an interest in what he called my jewel collection, so I called him on the house phone and asked him up for a bit of something cold. Thought I'd show him the lot after supper. He's quite a collector, too, you know.
Where's the house phone?
Right in the den.
Then what did you do?
Rang for my man and told him to lay out a cold supper for us before he left. Then I wrote a few letters to in the den until I heard a knock on the outside door. When my man didn't answer it, I concluded he'd gone out for the night and went myself. Found it was Purcell. We had a snack in the dining room, and then I brought him in here to show him the collection, and we found the strong box broken open and the jewelry gone.
Sounds conclusive and to the point. Where did you sit during dinner?
At the head of the table, right there, facing the door to the den.
Did you leave the dining room at all?
Only twice. Once during the dinner, I stepped into the kitchen to get the coffee, and then
afterwards... How long did you leave Purcell alone in here?
Well, just long enough to step into the kitchen, pick up the coffee pot, and come back. Purcell wouldn't have done it, and he wasn't alone in here over a minute anyway.
No, that's hardly time enough to break open a strong box and hide $50,000 worth of jewelry. What about the other time you left the dining room?
Purcell was with me. We took our dishes into the pantry and stacked them in the sink. Then we went right into the den and opened the closet. The strong box is in full view on the closet floor, and I saw right away that the lid was not tightly closed. I checked the shock system and found it still on, so I disconnected it and opened the box. It was empty.
The box was electrically protected?
Yes. To touch it without disconnecting the wires meant a paralyzing shock.
And it had been opened without disconnection?
It rather looks that way.
Yes. To the tune of $50,000 worth of precious stones.
Beg pardon me.
What is it, Harriet?
There were three people at it here tonight, miss. There are three sets of dishes in the sink.
Who is the third person, Mr. Tremaine?
Why, no one. Purcell and myself were the only ones.
Ha! You don't say. Then was it a ghost that dirtied one dish, one bucket light, one coffee cup and saucer with suitable accompanying and silver? Was it a ghost, I asked?
It might have been my man. He probably had a bite before he left and put his things in the sink.
Wouldn't you have noticed him when you and Purcell took your dishes into the kitchen after your supper?
Well, as a matter of fact, Miss Blue, I carried in the coffee urn and a few dishes which I handed to Purcell. He actually put them in the sink.
Oh, I see. Now let's get back to your story. What happened after you discovered your loss?
Purcell insisted that I search him in spite of the fact that he hadn't had time to do the job. Then I called the police and Purcell and I searched the place. Before the police arrived, well, just as we finished the search, we both heard an explosion.
What kind of a explosion?
Look here, are you conducting this investigation, or is Miss Blue?
You might like to know that Harriet Higgins is a sworn officer of the law, private detective and special assistant to the Lady in Blue. And I'm Harriet Higgins.
Higgins, that'll do.
All right, miss. But I still ain't believing that any gentleman's gentleman, as was any kind of a gentleman's gentleman, would leave his dishes in the sink when he was going out for the night. Leastwise.
You'll have to ask Purcell or my man about that tomorrow.
What happened when you heard the explosion, Mr. Tremaine?
Well, the explosion sounded as though it were directly below us, and Purcell's apartment is right under mine. We both ran downstairs to see what had happened.
And found that his safe had been blown open while he was up here with you, Nesta.
How did you know?
I knew there had been a second robbery in the building from the police radio, and guessed that the explosion meant a blown safe.
Yes. We rushed downstairs and found the night watchman opening Purcell's door with his pass key. It seemed that he was at the other end of the hall when the explosion occurred and ran right to Charlie's door.
What did you see when you got in?
Purcell's wall safe had been blown open and was entirely empty. The windows were locked on the inside, and the watchman said that no one had come out of the apartment between the time he heard the explosion and put his key in the lock. He was standing in front of the door within 40 seconds after the explosion. Yet when we got in, there was no one there.
Sounds to me rather like black magic or ghosts. Except for one thing.
What's that, miss?
I know this building. The dumbwaiters run from the main kitchen on the ground floor up through Mr. Purcell's apartment and into the service pantry in this penthouse.
You don't think a thief hoisted himself up here in that traveling tea tray, do you?
To answer that question, I must ask you one, Mr. Tremaine. Will you describe as accurately as possible the sound of the explosion?
Well, it was muffled. Had a sort of shallow tone, rather a dull thud. It sounded just like that.
I think it was just like that.